Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you. I just thank the Lord for just allowing us to be able to connect one with another. If you're excited about Jesus and all that he's doing in your life, can you just give God some hand claps of praise or put some emoticons on or some hallelujahs, just thanking him for his tremendous grace and mercy that we made it one more time. The Lord is so good. I thank you as always for being living epistles. That has been our theme for this year as we are quickly almost at 2024, but we have been examples of Christ, even as we've been talking about the fulfillment of our calling. If you look on my background, you'll see about who do you love? And I really want us to examine that today. I want you to think about that even now. I know you're listing out your family and your friends, but I really want you to focus on who's the top of that list when it comes to love. And we're going to find out within the scriptures today, it has to be Christ in order to have the peace that dwells beyond our understanding within our lives. I want to thank you for just staying connected to everything that's going on during the week. The Lord has tremendously blessed us. Please get that app if you don't have, so you can get notifications that you can be right with us on our chats and our connections, even on our YouTube page where we're at EBC NC Video. We've got that information there. So we thank you so much for your prayers. Also, thank you for your giving. The Lord has blessed Ebenezer tremendously. And we thank you for having a cheerful heart that you've been purposing in your heart and you've been giving cheerfully. I actually was able to go with my wife and Tyrone and Anita Woods, and they have started this ministry. They started 13 years ago, and we went into a couple of schools, and there we were able to give out over 300 coats. Yes, over 300 coats to kids that were really blessed by them. I've got a picture there, and I want you to focus in. I don't know if it's my left or right, but it's a little kid. He's a Hispanic kid, and he had come. Just got in a couple of weeks from Mexico, could not speak English, but when he got that coat, what a smile. You could see he's doing a pose. He's striking a pose. He was just so blessed by getting that coat. And that really made my day. And I just want to thank you, Ebenezer, for giving in to enabling this ministry. And we have so many more, but I wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Well, I'm ready to get into the word today as we're back into it again, that topic, fulfilling the call that's in our lives. I want us to prepare our hearts to receive from the Lord, to speak directly to us that we can be exactly what he would have us to be. We'll see you soon.
You're going to find me in the book of Psalms, chapter 26, probably verses 1 down through verse 7. And it read as such: Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence. So will I compass thy altar, O Lord. Verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. A word from God for the people of God.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Oh, oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful. Oh, Jesus, so holy, meek and mild, no longer. verse one more time, okay? Hey, he was held by the angels. He was born in a lonely manger. Mary was chosen as his mother. And Joseph was blessed father. Three wise men, they traveled from afar. They were guided by the Holy Star to see the baby where they laid him in a manger. Filled with hay. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus.
Isn't it so good to be able to rejoice in the Lord as we sing together and we worship and we pray together? The Lord has been so, so good to us. Well, as we get back to fulfilling our calling, that whole topic, I believe that the Lord has been speaking to your heart, because I know he has been speaking to my heart. Let's go to that memory scripture. And as we read this memory scripture out aloud, this 1 Corinthians 6:19, I want you to really just meditate on it. We've been doing this over and over each week so we can get into our minds and seep down into our hearts. So if you don't mind, if you would read it aloud with me, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? It's just comforting, that scripture, just as it is getting in my heart more and more that I am not my own. Well, if you would, I would ask you to please pray with me now as we prepare ourselves to go into the scriptures for the day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. You are an awesome, an amazing God who loves us so much, and you've shown that through your son, Jesus. I pray that if there's someone that's listening or viewing now that doesn't know you, that they will realize that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Now, Lord, I welcome your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Put in the chat, just say amen. Wherever you're standing, sit and just say amen. Well, today, as we get into our focus scripture, we were in 2 John on last Sunday, and guess what? We're going to 3 John. So I want us to focus in on 3 John, that fifth verse. Just an interesting note, 3 John is the shortest book of the Bible. Yes, it's the shortest book of the Bible, and we're going to be taking a portion of it today. But just a little note there, how we can be impactful in our lives as God uses us, even in short books. That 3 John 5, it reads, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers." It's a heavy scripture. Listen to that again. "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and strangers." I want to speak from a subject today titled, "Jesus is all the world to me." Jesus is all the world to me. Let's get a little review from last Sunday so we can kind of transition into this text as John was being led of the Holy Spirit. From last time, we were in 2 John, That eighth verse was our focus verse. It says, look unto yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. And we talked from a subject title last Sunday, it's not over until it's over. Just quickly going back to those points of review, Jesus' truth, we dealt with that. Walk in the truth. Love leads our calling. Never give up. Abide in Christ and full joy. Today's title was actually inspired by Will Thompson. In 1904, he actually put forth these lyrics. Now, before I read the lyrics, this is one of my favorite hymns. In my study, John Wesley and others who were in that late 19th to early 20th century, they actually had issues with this hymn. They were pushing that it wouldn't be there because it had some intimate terms. John Wesley and others said that when you look at the terms, there were some my's and how he cares were could be compared to a love song to, you know, a secular nature. And so they were very concerned about the terminology that this writer used in his hymn. It clearly is talking about Jesus, but they were more concerned that that terminology, the actual words. I find that interesting even as we examine our days, because our language does change. And in our love songs of the day, you do hear a lot of different terminology that has kind of transcended and came into our Christian songs of the day. We have to be careful, but I believe God has allowed us to have language that has such an impact. So let's go through this hymn, Jesus is All the World to Me, because it gives a summary of what we're going to talk about today as we've been dealing with the fulfillment of our calling. He writes, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I'm sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I'm sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. He writes in that second stanza, Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trial sore. I go to him for blessings and he gives them over and over. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain, sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches over me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Then that fourth stanza, he kind of summarizes it, pulls it in. He says, Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. That encompasses what we're dealing today. When you have Jesus as your friend, you want to walk in the calling. You want to give him all that you can give him. Today's book, as we have already given a little historical background, is AD 90. This third John, very, very short, but very powerful. There are two people that are in here. One actually gives a bad name to the calling that's on our lives, but I want to focus on the first one, is Gaius. So we're looking at Gaius, and he's actually walking in his calling, and that calling is a calling of hospitality. He would take care of missionaries, and he would send them off in a wonderful manner. He was gifted in doing this. And so as we go through these scriptures, I want you to think about, what has God gifted you in doing? What has God called you to do? Jesus is all the world to me. Let's jump into it. That third John, that first verse. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Here's our first point. Leader. Yes, simple point. Leader. Gaius is a leader. And the elder John, as he's led of the Holy Spirit, he says, the beloved, your calling is impactful. Can you put in the chat? I know that's a little bigger word, impactful. Somebody just type it out real quick, impactful, because I want you to see this. I've got some wrenches, and in those wrenches, they are electric and they have an impact force to them. And when you put an impact force, it is actually greater than just kind of going around in a circle. And that's the way our lives, when we are led of the Lord and the anointing is in our lives, it is powerful. I'm going to remember that. It really can change people's lives. It's not conclusive as we look at the scriptures if this Gaius is the same name that we see in several other scriptures, but I wanted to bring it up. But if it is, the calling that he has of hospitality comes out. Let me show you in Romans 16:23. We see this name again. Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greets you. There it is. Here in 3 John, that hospitality is his gift. And it seems that this is the same guy as in Romans 16:23, and he's hosting. That love comes out in that. When Paul was in need in Acts 20:4, that name pops up again. And he was one of the men that actually accompanied Paul when he was going through troubles, that hosting, that love. I believe that our callings, God wants to use us in so many ways, and we just have to be aware and be willing to submit to the will of God. When we walk in the fulfillment of our calling, I'm telling you, this world will be a better place. More souls will be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. When we become integral in others' lives by walking in our calling, we find out that God is able to produce a more anointing in us, and people can sense that. They're encouraged by that. The other day, my wife and I, we were looking at a YouTube a movie of a type, and on there, it started talking about some Japanese words. It was interesting to me simply because my daughter, she stayed a year in Japan, and it seems like she'll be going back in Japan on next year, and she is pretty fluent speaking Japanese. And this word came up, and the word is akage-sama-de. Akage-sama-de. Now, I am not Japanese, and if I mispronounce that, please forgive me. If my daughter's looking at this, please forgive me. But the meaning of this was striking as we talk about this point of leadership. The meaning, whatever I am today, it is because of you. I want to read that again. It means whatever I am today, it is because of you. So this is a common terminology that they will use when they greet each other. And it's saying, you know what? I'm here today, but it's because of you. That's what leadership is all about, that we can really encourage others. That yes, we're in a leadership position, but it's because of others that are in our lives, and we are a part of this big plan that God has. Man, Jesus is all the world to us. True leadership grows from knowing who Christ is. I want you to really think about that. True leadership grows, the fulfillment of our calling grows from knowing who Christ is, having a true relationship, he being our friend, our everything. Gaius is the beloved. He is the one that has found that Jesus is his everything, and he's walking in that. How much are others experiencing love because of your calling? Yes, how much are people blessed? Who's calling you beloved? Because you're walking in your calling in such a magnificent way. Look at this next verse, 3 John, and that second verse. Beloved, he writes, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I want to read that again because this has been quoted a lot, but I thank God that we're able to pull it in context today. That says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Here's the point. What's on the inside will come out. Yes, what's on the inside will come out. John actually desires Gaius's external, his physical, to be in sync with this spiritual vigor that he has on the inside of him. He's saying, man, you are walking so much in sync with Jesus. He's all the world to you. That literally, I want that life that's on the inside to seep on the outside. Now, we're not sure the context. Maybe Gaius was having some external, some physical issues. But what John is saying here, the power, the anointing that God has put on the inside of you, if that seeps out, your body is going to be healed. Did you realize walking in our calling can transform our health? Yeah, because we get peace. We get joy. We understand that we're being used of the Lord. So now we're not so stressed out. We understand that God is ordering our steps. We get the fact that no matter what's going on, that all things are working to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his plan and purpose, and we can trust him. F.B. Meyer, a Baptist minister in the 1900s, he really kind of captures this thought pattern when he writes. He says, "It would not be desirable to express the wish of verse 2 to all our friends, because if their bodies were to correspond to the condition of their souls, they would suddenly fall into ill health." Ouch. If your body looked like what your soul is, what would you look like? Yes, and I pray you're saying, "Pastor, man, I'm submitting more to God's will, and I sense God's hand on the inside of me, and yes, it is transforming my outside." Look at that 3 John 2 again. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health." Here it is again. I wanted to focus on that. "Just as your soul prospers." When we get into the calling that God has, we're actually connecting with all that he has, that he has founded for us from the foundations of the earth. How is your soul when it comes to doing what God has called you to do? Are the saints able to see who you are and your dedication to the Lord? Saints, I'm telling you, this is not just for me as a pastor, as a leader, but this is for all of us, that we may be more like him. Look at 3 John 3. "For I rejoice greatly," he writes, "when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." That 3 John and that 4th verse, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Here's the point: a powerful walk. Yes, a powerful walk. The way we live daily speaks volumes of our lives. Can you put in the chat "daily," wherever you're standing, sitting, just say "daily, daily." It's not just on Sunday. It's not just one day of a week or when we're around people who are influential, but this is daily, daily, 24 hours, 7 days. The way we carry ourselves, that speaks volume. That shows if Jesus is truly all the world to you. Notice here in that 3 John 3 again, he said, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." Gaius had really exceeded all the expectations, and he is really bursting in this gift that God has put within his life. And he said, I rejoice greatly because your life was actually being testified by. People were testifying of the things that you did. That's what really walking in the fulfillment of our callings. We're just walking with our friend Jesus. We're loving him because he is all the world to us. And because of that, guess what? He is impacting and he is touching lives. Then John goes on to write in this 3 John in that 4th verse, "I have no greater joy." Can you say "greater joy"? Can you put in the chat "greater joy"? He could have just said, I have no joy, but he says "greater." I don't want it just to be just a level, but I want to take it up higher. I want a greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Even as I'm talking about this scripture, you know, I've got 5 kids, and you know, this is a tender scripture. He's talking to Gaius as one that he's connected with, a family member. And I tell you, I have no greater joy when I talk to my kids and they're doing well and they're walking in success. But even more so, man, it gives me greater joy when I learn that they're doing what God would have them to do, where they're actually walking in their calling. And this is the same thing that John, being led of the Holy Spirit, is speaking to Gaius. When Jesus is all the world to us, we encourage others through our calling. Yes, we do. I love to be around people that have embraced their calling, because it brings energy to me, that what's on the inside comes out. A Greek scholar, Arthur Farstead, he captured the sentiment of John's writing. Listen to this. Perhaps most of us think of soul winning as the greatest joy of the Christian life. We often do that. And it is wonderful indeed to see men and women translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. But listen to this. He says, but who can measure the heartache to see those who profess to be saved returning to their former life? Like a sow returning to her wallowing in the mire and a dog to his vomit. But listen to this part. On the other hand, what a thrill it is to see one's spiritual children going on for the Lord from grace to grace. It is. And that's my desire as a pastor. And I've been able to see that almost 25 years, people growing in the Lord and loving on God, reading God's word more, praising and worshiping Him, coming in better relationship with those that are around and walking in the calling that God has put on their life. The apostle Peter, he states in 2 Peter 3:17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. We talked about this scripture a lot, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace. Can you put in the chat grace? Can you scream out grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? To Him be the glory both now forever. Amen. Jesus is all the world to me. Look at that 3 John in that 5th verse. Beloved, we hear a lot of that. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and strangers. Here's the point. One word, faithful. Yes, faithful. That word brings me a lot of peace. Just to have a faithful people that are around me. In marriages, what we want, a faithful husband, we want a faithful wife. And even in this Christian walk, God is like, I want you to be faithful. I want you to be faithful in the calling that I've placed in your life. Gaius was dedicated to his call. He was faithful. Pastor John MacArthur, he writes this. He says, genuine faith always produces genuine good works. Can I read that again? Genuine faith always produces genuine good work. That's powerful, because when you really understand who God is and you start to embrace that He's working in you, those things are shown. It begins to be a part of who we are. He not only operated in hospitality for those that He knew, but if you look in that scripture, He did it for strangers too. You're like, how could He do that? That's who He is. He takes care of people. So He takes care of those who He knows, but He also takes care of those who are strangers, because that's how the gift operates in Him. How is your calling touching other people's life? I want you to process that. Being dedicated supersedes just being used on Sunday. Dedicated means that I am focusing on the Lord Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. It really begins to color your life in every aspect. I was talking to someone the other day, and they love to cook. They do. They just love to cook. Now, I love to eat, but I don't necessarily love to cook. This person loves to cook. They love to create things. Oftentimes, they'll just kind of be sitting around and, you know, a recipe will come to them, or they'll be cooking one thing and they'll turn it into something. And I said, you know what? I believe that's a calling. You got to use that. And I found out when you begin to do those things which you love, which you have a gifting that we talk about to be able to do that, God has a way of doing some special things. Jesus is all the world to me. Proverbs 18:16 talks about this. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. I want to encourage you, when you start praying and saying, Lord, use me, show me what you've called me to do, and you start to really put your arms around that, your gift will start opening up doors for you. Please, those doors may not be a public where everybody knows what's going on, but you can see see that God is blessing you and giving you more provisions to do what he's called for you to do. Look at that 3 John and that 6th verse. Jesus is all the world to me, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. 7th verse, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. Here's the point. Do it for Christ. Yes, do it for Christ. Everything, and I hope this is coming across as we've been going through this scripture, everything we do should be motivated because we desire to be like Christ, that he is our friend, that he is all the world to us. Gaius actually took care of, again, the missionaries. He took care of strangers. He took care of anybody that he was allowed to take care of, and he did it with excellence. Notice this verse in the contemporary English version. It says, they have told the church about your love. They say you were good enough to welcome them and to send them on their way in a their mission in a way that God's servants deserve. Basically, what this is saying is he just didn't make provisions for them as they went. Man, he took it up a level. Man, when they left, they felt like queens. They felt like kings because he took it. That was his gift. And if you've ever been around somebody who's operating in a gift of hospitality, man, they just make you feel so comfortable. Whatever is God is doing in you, man, say, Lord, use me for your glory. When we're working for Christ, we give it our best. Can you put in the chat? Just put best, best. We do. We give our best to him. What has God blessed you with that you can dedicate to him? Yeah. What is he deposited in you? Maybe it's your wealth that you can be used in. Some are gifted in that. They are blessed. God has just opened up doors over and over again. What about your health? Many of us, God has given us tremendous help, even through COVID and other things, to assist and help other people. How is your time management? For some of you, God has just given you time that you can actually reach out. Time is so important, especially in this season where there's so many distractions. I've been blessed because at Ebenezer, I am seeing something happen. Over these years, there are more giftings coming up that I didn't even know. We've got authors. We've got a whole bunch of authors. I mean, published authors. We've got poets. We've got construction workers that are gifted in it. They're gifted with their hands. We've got so many that are blossoming in those gifts. And those gifts are not just for them to make money off of so they can be advanced, but those gifts are to bless people. And so they're using those gifts to bless people that are around them. How are you impacting your community by your gift? How is God using you? Here it is. Today, Jesus is all the world to me. Look at this 3 John in that 8th verse as we pull it all together. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Final point. We are in this together. Yes. We are in this together. Can I get a quick typist on the chat? Put together, together. That's what it is. Wherever you're sitting, standing, you can just kind of put your arm around yourself, which stands for we're together. We are a part of something that's huge because Jesus is all the world to us. Our dedication to the call plugs us into the bigger body. Yes, when we really want to be used of the Lord and we want that calling to be fulfilled, it plugs us into the body. As Gaius supports the missionaries, guess what? He's being dedicated to his call. He's encouraging them. They're going back and testifying. And because they've been refreshed, they give a more powerful word to others. More souls are being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Though Gaius many times was not on that missionary journey with them, he was a part of those fruits that would come out of that. He is actually united with them in the truth. I just want to go through some scriptures from 1 Corinthians 12:20 that talks about us being a part of that body. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. To give our call all to Jesus is bigger than we realize. We are a part of his entity, who he is in this world. That eternal fruit is what we're all about. Isn't that what Jesus showed up and showed out for us? That example that he is all the world to us. I was thinking about this and how he impacted so many people, but there was a specific one that always troubled me. It brought tension, and it was the time that Jairus actually came to him in Luke 8:41, and his daughter was sick, and she was about at the point of death. Let me read a few of these scripture. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. Jesus is all the world to me. And he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. So Jesus is all the world to Jairus. He's like, if my daughter's going to get healed, it has to be you. Can you come? And so Jesus is on his way. Stay with me here. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter rose and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" You know the story. So now we've got Jairus, and Jesus is all the world to him, but we got this lady that's been bleeding all of these years, and Jesus is all the world to her. And she comes up in the midst of the crowd as Jesus is on the way to Jairus's house and touches him. She gets healed, and eventually she comes out and says, "I am the one who's done it." And it would seem that all of a sudden the one Jairus who was in love with the Lord and has given everything to him, that he'll be caught up in the celebration. But I'm so glad for God. There ought to be some saints say, "I'm glad for a God that does not forget. I am glad for a God that's 100% in everything that he does." Luke 8:49, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But I want you to know Jesus is all the world to us. When you're walking and you're calling, amazing things can happen. Luke 8:50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." And when he came into the house, he permitted one to go into except Peter, James, and John, and the father, the mother, the girl. I'm telling you, do you want to walk in miracles? Gaius used in hospitality. Jesus is the example of turning lives upside down for the good. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them outside, all outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. I'm telling you, Jesus is all the world to us. You can do so many things in the Lord. God said all things are possible with him. That's why I'm so glad that Jesus didn't stop right here, but he goes to the cross of Calvary, where he carries our griefs and bears our pains for us, all simply so that we could walk in the fulfillment of our calling, and we could say Jesus is all the world to us. Aren't you glad that he died for us on that cross of Calvary? They put him in a cold grave, but 3 days later, we know the story. He gets up with all power and all glory, and because he is all the world us. I love this Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. If there are any saints out there, say, "I thank God for praying for me. I thank God for interceding for me so that I can walk in the fulfillment of my calling and know that Jesus is all the world to me." That's why I can say so often, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for, are there any saints say, "You know what, I just got to get my praise on just a little bit"? When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul shouts out hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Jesus is all the world to me. Saints, we are the blessed of the blessed to be used by the hand of the Lord, and to know that we have a God that sits high and looks low and is working in us and has given us the Holy Spirit. What more could we ask for? to know that every day we have purpose, to know that every day God wants to use us to impact others that are around us. Oh, Jesus is all the world to me, and I pray that he's all the world to you. If you don't know this Christ that we've talked about through these scriptures today, that Gaius knew and that Jairus knew and that the woman who touched the hem of his garment knew, that girl, that young girl who was dead and Jesus raised, she knows him. Oh, because he's all the world. Would you cry out to him? Would you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? He said, you will be saved. Would you accept that grace through faith, that gift that God so freely gives today? And I'm telling you, your life will be transformed. You'll have purpose, as we use that word. Can you put in the chat purpose, just purpose? There will be purpose stamped on your life. And guess what? It just didn't come. It was already there from the foundations that we talked about earlier, from the foundations of the earth. God has put purpose in you. Man, that is a blessing in a day of darkness where so many people are losing sight of who God really is. Man, for the saints today that are saved and know him, I want you to give more to him. He wants it all, right? He wants us to live as a living sacrifice. He wants all of our lives. Let's determine today, here I am, Lord, without one plea. I give myself to you. Jesus is all the world to me. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for this word. Thank you for the ability even to read your word and to hear your voice, Lord, via your Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us of our sins, for we have often gone astray. But today we have determination to be used of you, Lord. We truly can say from our hearts, you are all the world to us. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've seen miracles after miracles performed in my life. You kept having mercy on me. I didn't even be alive. You know, angels all around me. Be alive. I thank you, Jesus, for keeping me alive. Now you can help me. I am. Oh, I'm a living testimony. Oh, I could have been dead and gone. But Lord, you let me live on. Oh, I am. Oh, I'm a living testimony. And I thank the Lord I'm still alive. Listen. I have many friends and loved ones that's gone on before me. Lord, it caused my heart to flee. I realized it could have been me. I know I'm not worthy, but Lord, you keep on keeping me. And I thank the Lord I'm still alive. I've seen miracles after miracles performed in my life. You kept having mercy on me. I didn't even deserve to be alive. I loved to see God's face. He gave amazing grace, but I